Hey, this is Tom.
And this is Gavin, and you're listening to Keep It Simple. Keep It Simple is a podcast devoted to exploring life with Christ through simple, organic expressions of the church.
Hey, welcome to the podcast. Hey, I'm Tom.
And I'm Gavin Durison.
And hey, look, we are in the same room after 2 years of COVID, and we're less than 6 feet apart, and I'm not scared at all.
Yeah, we're trying to get this thing going. We appreciate y'all. We've been trying to experiment with video. For some reason, we thought that would enhance the quality of this podcast, but I'm not so sure that that's proven to be true. It seems to be scaring a lot of people away. But we're just trying some new stuff. Trying some new stuff. And one of the new things we tried, I don't know, this intro music that we were bringing in, I, a lot of people around the world been asking about it. You know, what is this song?
They're very interested. What are they hearing?
But just so you know, every time I hear that, it cracks me up because that is one of my songs. It's actually one of it's the most serious song that I've ever attempted to do. But because it's the most serious song I ever attempted to do, it's all the more funny to me. So it cracks me up every time I hear it. But it's... Anyways, that's what that is about. Most of you guys probably know about my prolific rap career under the alias Inside Joke, keeping it real for many years now. Longer than this podcast, I've been keeping it true to the street. So that's where that song's called You Don't Hear Me Though, and it's on one of my albums. I don't remember which one. But
we hope you're hearing us, though.
It's a big hit. So what are we going to talk about today, Tom?
Well, you wanted to talk about, you were in a series, and I think we're in part three of it. The basics. Let's talk about the basics.
Yeah, so if you're just joining this podcast, I encourage you to go back and check out part one and two. And I want to go back to part one because, and we'll bring up the graphic so that you guys can see exactly what we're talking about for those of you watching on YouTube. But one of the things we talked about as being a basic is this idea that the church is a family of believers that are receiving God's love, loving others, and making disciples. And we use that illustration to help kind of hopefully just give us a visual for what that might could look like. And the arrows kind of feed each other. And that is not a linear process. I'll probably refer to that a couple times this podcast, but I'll explain more about what I mean by that. But one of the things that's really on my heart, and I want to just give a little bit of time today to talking about it, because I don't think if I was giving a basics of simple church talk 10 years ago when I was starting this stuff, that I would have recognized the importance of this idea of receiving God's love and what exactly that means. So today I want us to talk a little bit about the basic concept of first love, of we love because He first loved us. Mm-hmm. The idea of what I referred to in that first video is maybe a better great commandment of as I've loved you, so love one another. And I think that's just such an important, really, it's so important to think about that because of a lot of reasons we'll get into in this podcast. So,
okay. My first thought is in the Old Testament, you know, the greatest command, and even the disciples asked Jesus, what is the greatest command? And he rattled it off. He didn't think. He said, the greatest command is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, strength. And the second command is just like it, or is as important, and that's love your neighbor as yourself. And that's, so love for God, love for our fellow human being and especially our fellow believer is a key. It's a vital key to any understanding of Christianity. And I think you're going to probably talk about when Jesus reiterated that in the upper room.
Yeah, so that's actually, I mean, I'm glad you said that because I think, you know, when I started out Simple Church, and I mean, in fact, I don't think this is that uncommon. You go to any church and they're going to say, what are we about? We're about the basics of loving God, loving people.
Right.
And that passage is used, and that's actually something that I've been rethinking that, and I think I may have talked about it even in previous episodes on this podcast. I know there's an article up we can link on our Simple Church Alliance website where I developed this idea a little more. And it's not an original idea. It's things that have been brought to my attention from just things I've read and whatnot. But it's sort of this idea that I think when we a lot of us do think of that we think, well, the Christian life is about loving God. So that first and foremost, that's what it's about. In that passage, you know, I think if you go back and look at it, the thing that sort of been brought to my attention that's kind of got my brain rattled a little is that when Jesus was asked about that, he was really trying to be trapped by the Pharisees. They were trying to catch him in a bit of a, you know, they were trying to get him. And he says, well, the first and greatest commandment, love your Lord, your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. And second's like it, love your neighbors yourself. And then he says that all the laws of the prophets hang on these two.
Exactly.
And so he gives those as a summary of the Old Testament law. Now, you know, again, where I'm persuaded is that when Jesus was giving that, that we maybe have taken that as a misapplication of what he was saying. And what I mean by that is that I don't know that Jesus was saying to the New Testament church, make this your law. Love me and love people because with all of your heart, mind, soul, and strength. Mm-hmm. And the reason I say that is because, one, I don't know that it's the appropriate context. I mean, I think he was giving a summary of the Old Testament law. And, mm-hmm. of course, we could have a big talk about Jesus came not to abolish the law. And so I don't think it's wrong to love God or love your neighbor. That's not wrong, obviously. But he did come to fulfill it. And so I think a lot of what I've taken in my Christian life, and I think I've even promoted sometimes in simple church or house church, it's the same thing that the traditional church sometimes promotes and I think can have adverse effects on folks over time, and that is, hey, what we're about, the basic thing we're about here is just loving God. Like, we're going to, every day, we're loving God with all of our heart, all of our mind, all of our soul, all of our strength, and we're going to love our neighbors as ourselves. Now, here's how we're going to do that. And we're going to, in some ways, what ends up happening, we reverse engineer an Old Testament, a code of, or a law or religious system, in a sense, for everybody to kind of follow so that they can make sure that they are doing that. And I think a lot of folks, I think I would put myself in this category sometimes, you know, maybe it's called burnout or whatever, but that kind of comes from this idea of when we're living under this idea that my Christian life can be boiled down to loving God with all my heart, mind, soul, and strength. That's what I'm trying to do every day to be a good Christian, to be a good house church leader. I think it's a misapplication because I don't know that what Jesus was doing. I mean, it's how we view it. It's how we're looking at it in our heart. It's not wrong to try to love God. But how do we love God? That's where in the upper room, Jesus says, a new command I give you, which is different than the old. And he's getting ready to go, you know, he's getting ready to go to the cross. And he's kind of prepping the church, I think, for the next season of the church. He says, as I've loved you, so love one another. And I think that's different. As I've loved you, love one another.
And then what does he say after that? He says, by this you will know that you're my disciples.
Yeah.
So it's an indicator of what Christianity looks like. In other words, you can have a Christian that says, you know, if I just obey these rules and I love God with all my heart and, you know, I'm in church every time the doors open and I'm trying really hard to obey the Ten Commandments, that's how they're going to know I'm a Christian. And Jesus is saying, well, that's important, but this is how you're really going to know. They're going to know how that these guys are Christians because they're going to act differently towards each other.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to love one another unconditionally. They're going to, when one offends another, it's going to be forgiven.
Yeah.
And when one's in trouble, they're going to come to their aid. When, you know, they're not going to abandon them. So there's not going to be any, you know, the book of Acts says there was not a need among the disciples because everybody pitched in and fulfilled everyone else's needs. So there's that love in action. And when people see that, they're going to say, those guys are different. Those people are different. What's different about them? I kind of like how those people act. Tell me why you're like this. And let me, if I could, just let me tell you a story. An illustration, and you know that Bonnie and I work with international students, And when we pick them up at the airport, from the time we pick them up at the airport to the time, you know, they're integrated and they find a home and they're, you know, rocking with their studies and everything, you know, we're with them through a lot of that process. And over and over again, this is the comment that we get. Why do you do this? You don't have to do this for me. Why do you do this? And so that becomes a vehicle, an avenue, an opening for us to share. Well, we do this because, you know, Christ loves us. We're passed that love on. And it makes them want to know more about Christianity. We've had a Muslim tell us, you guys are more Muslim than we are. And that was not meant as an insult. It was actually the best compliment that they could give to us. And what they mean by is, you know, we think that Islam is the ultimate way to go. And when you guys are out Islaming us, that gets our attention. And so, and by out Islaming us, I mean, we're, you know, the Muslims tend to be a very moral people, tend to be a very hospitable people. And so when we're just acting naturally towards one another in love, like Jesus commanded us to and suggested and wanted us to, it does show that we're his disciples.
Yeah.
And it makes them want to become disciples.
Yeah. And so, you know, even if I could, like, even take even a step back from that. And again, this is more all of, you know, these are things that are stirring in my heart. And I don't, this may or may not connect with everybody in the way that it has me. I think I shared a story when we first rebooted this podcast just about some things my daughter's been teaching me and about God's love and about what it means to live in his love and to grow in my understanding of just how much he loves me. And to me, that just seems to be becoming more and more important. And I think because, to just back up, I think my heart, as I've been sort of reevaluating Simple Church going forward, what, you know, I think we when we start Simple Church, we talk about the basics of the buildings, the budgets, the you know, we use that illustration as the box. We can take those things away, the pros, the professionals, the programs, the budgets and buildings, we can take that away. But I think we can still encourage Simple Church. We can even be a part of Simple Church. We can be a part of a way of thinking about the Christian life that still is that misses, I think, this importance of this first love concept, mm-hmm. this idea that as I have loved you, so love one another. I think we can encourage people, train people, and send them out to go and do things. And maybe that this idea of growing and understanding how Jesus has loved us, how has he loved me? I mean, I think that's not something that I want to skip over anymore. And how that fleshes out practically, you know, we could talk about, and I'm still learning myself, but as someone who is a doer, as someone who likes to grab the bull by the horns and get things done, I think that where I'm at in my faith, God is showing me is to pump the brakes on that a little bit, and to maybe there's a time and a place and an importance for really, really not missing out on this first love, not doing things maybe without even realizing it in an effort to please God, trying to please him, recognizing he already is pleased with me. He mm-hmm. already loves me more than I could ever imagine, mm-hmm. more than he loves you more than you could ever imagine, and understanding that anything that I do, whether it's hosting a house church, starting a house church, discipleship, it my heart would be in my own life and for others is that it could flow out of a growing depth of understanding of just how much love God has for them and an actual experience of that, not the head knowledge, oh, he loved me, but somehow that there could be a tapping into an experience of God's love that convinces them if they did nothing for God, he would love them no less or no more. Mm-hmm. But yet it's so profound and deep that they can't help but to love other people because there's a real connection with the depth of God's love in their own experience and in their own Christian life. So does that make sense?
It makes perfect sense. Yeah, it does.
And now,
Acting Out. Acting Out is the segment of our show when we look at the book of Acts in the Bible and find lessons from the early church. In this brief segment, we ask ourselves, if the first century church turned the world upside down then, what could the church today do equally well in the 21st century? Jailbreak, from Acts chapter 12. Persecution against the Christians in Jerusalem was on the rise. King Herod was cracking down on the ringleaders. He executed James, the brother of John. He arrested many more believers, including Peter. In just a few days after the holidays, Peter would be publicly tried and most likely executed, just like James. Herod wasn't taking chances with Peter. Four squads of soldiers, almost 20 people, were assigned to watch Peter around the clock. At any one time, two of these soldiers were literally chained to Peter. Things weren't looking good for old Peter. He knew it. His friends and colleagues in the church knew it. But the believers in Jerusalem took the only action they could. They knelt down and prayed. John Mark's mother, Mary, hosted a 24/7 prayer vigil in her house. The believers gathered there and prayed for Peter all night long. We don't know exactly what they prayed for. Maybe comfort for Peter in his last hours? Courage for Peter to face his execution with dignity? Protection for the church so that no one else would be arrested or executed? We'll never know for sure. One thing we do know is that God's answer to their prayers seems to have been a genuine surprise to them all. In prison, the night before his scheduled trial, Peter was rudely awakened by being kicked in the side. But it wasn't one of his guards who kicked him. It was none other than an angel of the Lord. "Get up, Peter. Get dressed," he said. "We have to go." Peter just thought he was having a dream, so it didn't seem strange that he was no longer chained up, that no one else in the prison was awake, or that all the doors of the prison were open. In a stupor, he followed his rescuing angel out to the street. The angel then disappeared, and Peter woke up. "I'm free. This wasn't a dream," he said. "It was a miracle." Herod had taken many precautions to ensure that Peter wouldn't escape his fate, but the more obstacles Herod put between Peter and freedom, the easier it was for the angel to rescue Peter. This was such an obvious miracle. Peter never lifted a finger, except to get dressed. Meanwhile, at Mary's house, the church was still holding their earnest prayer vigil for Peter, until... Knock, knock. "Who's there?" "Peter." "Hey, that's not funny, man. Go away. We're busy. We're praying for Peter." "Well, here I am." "No, Peter is most likely a dead man by now. You must be his ghost." "Nope. It's me. Hey, it's cold out here. Let me in." "Can't you just see Peter standing on the porch with crickets chirping?" When the believers in Mary's house finally let Peter in, he stayed just long enough to deliver a simple message to those gathered. "Tell the leaders of the church about this. Tell them what happened." And then Peter went on his way. Why was everyone, including Peter, surprised that God broke him out of jail? Everyone was obviously praying for Peter, but when God delivered his answer in such a miraculous way, they couldn't believe their eyes or ears. They weren't expecting the miracle that they received. They were expecting the worst, Peter's execution. But they received the best, Peter's deliverance. Peter stopped by their house that night to deliver a simple message. "Go tell the others what happened tonight. God answered your prayers, and here's how it happened. Go tell everyone." They needed to hear this. They needed to hear that no matter how bleak things appear, God is with us every step of the way. He cares about what happens to us. Sometimes his answers to our prayer don't seem that obvious. Other times, like Peter's jailbreak, they are so obvious that they surprise us all. I guess that's okay. After all, a miracle is supposed to be unexpected. You've heard the expression, "Be careful what you wish for, you just might get it." Church, maybe we should expect more of the unexpected as we pray for God to turn the world upside down.
Because we can take all those other things away and we can still put the banner out there. We're about loving God, loving people. And I think not everyone will hear it the same. And not everyone, and you know, I think for me, you know, I mean, we're all in a process, right? God's revealing himself to us. We're growing in our faith over time. And everything's sort of, you know, we can't have this experience with Christ if all these other things don't happen, right? So maybe somebody has to enter their faith, they begin walking their faith, it's just about cleaning up their act or trying to make disciples and going through a booklet with people and being very diligent. I'm going to try to go through this booklet with 20 people this year, or make, you know, those are all not bad things. And I don't know, again, that it's all linear. Some people may start with that and get to this. Some people may start with this idea of receiving God's love, and that leads them to the to more of a, like, what it practically means to love others. I don't, what I'm trying to say is that somewhere in that circle, I don't think we want to miss out on this receiving God's love piece, because it can lead to burnout. It can lead to people doing religious stuff, trying without even realizing it to maybe earn God's love. And I think if we do that, we miss out on a great opportunity that Simple Church has. You know, sometimes thing in a traditional church, you've got to keep things rolling. So there can be that gas pedal pushed at times that says, hey, we need you to do this. We need you all to make sure you're doing this. Or, hey, how come you're not giving? How come, you know? And again, some accountability and correction, there's a place for that. But I think sometimes what we do in unintentionally, and I think I've done this, is we can pull those levers to try and control and manipulate people into doing things for God because we need them to do things for God so that we can keep the machine running. In a house church, we don't have to, there's no machine to keep running. So we can, I think, we have a real opportunity to kind of help people experience God and his family in a way that's void of sometimes these levers of religious obligation that sometimes the church puts on people. And we can, because here's the thing, if we say, man, what we really need to be about is receiving God's love, well, in some contexts, that sounds a lot like doing nothing. And doing nothing sounds a lot like the doors are going to shut if we encourage people to do. Now, receiving God's love is not doing nothing, but it is maybe more contemplation. Maybe there is, I don't know. I mean, those are things I'd love to hear from people about. What does it mean to you? What does it mean to you? How do we actively rest in God or experience a depth of God's love in our lives? Sometimes it's from doing things, right? We start loving other people, and then we start in that process realizing that we are receiving God's love in a deeper way. It's not a sequential step-by-step thing, I don't think. But it just needs to be in the mix, I think, for when we think about the basics of the Christian life and of a church. Are we a people that is growing in our rootedness in God's love? And somehow that needs to be in the mix so that we're not growing in do, go, go, go. We got to get people to do these things because we're trying to love God with all our heart, mind, soul, and strength. Oh, how'd y'all do with that this week? Well, who does well with that? And again, I think that was the point of what Jesus was saying. He was summarizing the law, which we know later, you know, Paul explained to us the law was there to show us that we can't obey the law. We need Christ. And so those are just some of the thoughts. Is that making sense to you?
So, a couple of thoughts came to mind. Today is my dad's birthday, and he passed away 7 years ago. And I was really fortunate to have a good dad, good mom, raised me in the church. But I think a good way to understand it for some people is, what was your dad like? You know, did he unconditionally love you? I think my dad did, you know, even though I gave him a lot of grief growing up. And, you know, when I learned to drive, I wrecked his car, and you know, he had to bail me out of situations with money and, you know, over the years. And, you know, that's when you get a glimpse, maybe not a whole picture, but you get a glimpse of how God loves us through how people love us when we are helpless. And there have been lots of times when, you know, I've been helpless, our family's been helpless, our parents came to our rescue, our church came to our rescue. They were showing love toward us. And that's just a small picture that illustrates everything that God has done for, everything that Jesus has done for us. I mean, you know, we watch movies, you know, where soldiers will dive on a grenade and you'll say, hey, well, he gave his life for those people. When we think about what Jesus did for us, there's no comparison. There is absolutely no comparison. And we won't understand it, but we get glimpses of it every once in a while through how people love us And that is to inspire us to love the others, you know, in the same way.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Oh, yeah. And, you know, I mean, I'm not going to assume that everybody's heard the, I shared, I think, a longer version of it. But, you know, when I was with my daughter and I had this encounter with God that was very powerful, it was the reality that, you know, here's this girl that God's given me who can't talk. She can't, she may not be able to ever talk or walk. She's always going to need me to feed her. Mm-hmm. She's going to need me to do everything for her. She's not ever going to do anything for me, but I love her so much and so intensely. That. And then to think that God, when God showed up and just sort of flipped the mirror on that situation for me, one particular night in the hospital, and, you know, to say, Gavin, this is you. This is what I've just been trying to get you to see, is that if you don't ever do anything for me, that I love you this much, even more, you know? And man, that's just such a different way of thinking. Again, like to go all in with God's love for people and to really help people to really grasp that. I think the doers in the church, the religious, the religious folk, myself included at times, that's scary because it says, well, how are we going to get people to do all the stuff? That, you know, but again, that misses the point altogether. You know, God is wanting us to experience His love and see His love as it truly is. And it is scandalous. It's a scandalous love. Mm-hmm. It's not a you do this and I'll love you more. It's I love you 100% and nothing you can do is going to change that. Now, when we taste that love and we experience that love in our life, it does, I mean, we can't help but to love other people. And again, I don't know how all this works. It's not sequential. It is like all those things feed each other. Sometimes we don't, you know, I know though in my heart, my desire for those that listen to this podcast or anyone that's doing Simple Church, somewhere in this mix of what it means to be the church, I think we have to have as a pillar this idea of, as I have loved you, love one another. There has to be this experience of understanding the depth and the breadth of God's love for us. And if we don't do that, then we're just going out and trying to love people with all our heart, mind, soul, and strength. And we probably created a system of checks and lists of things that make sure that we can, did I love God with all my heart? Well, I did pretty good today, you know, but I didn't do very good. And then we're always back into this. We're experiencing a church that's centered around religious obligation,
yeah,
not centered around that first love. Yeah. And so, again, this has still been fleshed out in my life. It's a basic. It's a new basic for me. It's something that, you know, I want to encourage, because I think there is such an opportunity. We have that opportunity in House Church because we can be all in with the scandalous love of Christ and communicating that, encouraging people to seek His love. You know, it started with me by just simply asking God, show me, how much do You love me? And I'm continually every now and then pray that prayer, Lord, Father, show me how much You love me. You know, maybe that's a start. I'm terrible about like just meditation on God's word. I read it sometimes more of a study guide so that I can figure how to teach other people, and you know, all the or things like, oh, what would be good for me to share with the house. But just, I think we do ourselves in the Bible a disservice when that's how God's word, that's all it is. Are we setting with the Lord? Are we growing in just our understanding of who He is and our relationship with Him? Is that being developed? And that has to be in the mix. I, for me going forward, I want that to me is a foundational, it's a element of the Christian life in the Simple Church. And I think, like I said, we are in a unique spot to maybe help people really tap into that in ways that if there's other systems in place that we got to always be pushing the do button for folks, then, you know, we don't have to do that. And so I think there's a real opportunity in that message. So
that's good. That's good. I don't know how to make that any better. I don't know how to tell people just love and be loved. I think it's just something that you're just going to have to experience. And God's just going to have to show you through, first of all, your time alone with Him, and then time with others. You know, when you're with your community group and you see how they reach out to you and they meet your needs, and then you can meet their needs, and there's no other feeling like that. And when people see that, they're going to say, I want that. Whatever that is, I want it.
Yeah. So, you know, maybe if there is a practical application to this, you know, I think it is. It's just having this conversation with yourself, with the Lord, with your church family, with your spouse. You know, how are we seeing and experiencing God's love in our life? Mm-hmm. Let that be a conversation that's discussed and talked about. When we read the scriptures, you know, asking the questions, like when we're spending time with the Lord, Lord, let me see how you love people in a deeper way today. You know, I think just having that conversation, and again, it's not the tricky part of this, we can turn around and make this a work. Well, how do we receive God's love? Well, we've got to start doing this. You should be doing these three things if you really, really are serious about receiving God's love. That's not it. But I think there is a sense where we do have to kind of put ourselves in a position before the Lord in our heart to say, Lord, show me your love. Mm-hmm. I want to see how much you love me. I don't want to just be out here doing and operating out of a sense of obligation, because I know that, Lord, you're not that way. That's not who you are. You're not just getting people to trying to get me to love other people because you told me to love other people. You really want me to receive your love so that it can be poured out authentically to other people, not as a method for getting people to come to my church or to share the gospel. You know, mm-hmm. You genuinely want me to love other people as you love me. And so there has to be some internal work there that happens. And I think it starts in prayer. It starts in our time with the Lord. And it begins with just having this conversation. Maybe throw this diagram up with your house church and have this conversation that Tom and I are having, and just say, what does it mean for us to receive God's love, to be a people who are actively, daily receiving God's love into our life? And maybe that's the start.
It's a good start.
So,
yeah.
Hey, let us hear what you think. I, you know, maybe I'm losing my brain. Maybe none of this makes sense, or maybe it makes a lot of sense. I'd love to hear from you about it, because again, this is sort of a new basic for me, and I'm really excited about what this can mean for simple church, house church people. I think in my mind, it's sort of been a big switch of like, oh, this is a big part of why mm-hmm. we're doing house church. This is a big part. It's not. We want to help people to experience God's love in deeper ways and walk in that love and live in it, because it's life-changing, I think, if we're able to grow in that. And I think we're uniquely positioned to help people do that for the reasons we've talked about. But let me know what you think. I'd love to hear comments. Email us. Give me a phone call. Leave comments if you're on YouTube in the comment section.
Yeah. I'll just say one more thing. It doesn't make sense. You're right. It doesn't make sense. And that's why when Jesus told his disciples up in the upper room, says, this is not going to make sense to you, but here's a new command. Love one another.
Yeah.
And I've loved you. And it doesn't make sense, but if you can accept it, embrace it, it's wonderful. It's wonderful.
Well, we'll let that be the last word for now. Thanks for joining us, and we'll look forward to having you join us next time. And as always, reach out to us if we can help you in any way or encourage you in any way. That's really what we want to do. Tom, thanks for making this happen.
Hey, thanks for your studio here. This is great.
This is beautiful.
It's good to be in the same room.
Hey, look what I got right here. This was in my office right there, the old Wildcat head. That's another story for another day. Anyways, thanks for joining us.
No cats were harmed in the making of this movie. Okay, see you later. Thanks for listening to Keep It Simple. If you've enjoyed this podcast, leave us a comment at keepitsimplepodcast.com or find us on iTunes or Facebook. We welcome your feedback, your ratings, your questions, or comments. I don't think that you're here.